Be seated. You may have noticed that one of the common themes in our lessons today has to do with newness, as well as the more obvious one that Sherry told us about and reminded us about as far as love. And that idea of love, it seems pretty easy, but maybe it's not as easy and simple as we think. Well, you know, I think initially when I hear this, the story of Peter and his work with Cornelius, I think about something that, some new information that I've received or that I have learned on my own. Do I tell other people about it? Or do I keep it to myself? You know, some things are just too difficult to keep to yourself. Like, it's really hard when you fall in love with somebody to not want to share it with the entire world. But if I find a shortcut, or I find a way to work where I can beat a whole lot of traffic, I'm not sure I want to tell everybody. Because if I tell everybody, everybody else is going to be traveling that same way and it won't be any good anymore, will it? Or my favorite fishing hole, where I know that the trout are biting, even when everybody else is having trouble getting a hook on their line. Or that favorite place of retreat, that that hiding place, a place maybe of spiritual renewal and refreshment, or even a little place where in the backyard I might be able to escape from mom and dad's watch. Well, if I tell people about it, then it won't be my special place anymore, will it? So, yeah, sometimes I'm a little selfish about that. On the other hand, I'm really thankful that we have doctors and researchers like, for instance, Dr. Jonas Salk, who came up with a cure for polio. You know, polio was one of those diseases that was crippling and even could cause death. And many people were affected by that. I mean, some of you may know people, friends that had that, but that was a long time ago. Thankfully, Dr. Salk did share this cure for polio. He let everybody know about it, so the disease has almost, if not completely, been eradicated. And then there was somebody that came along after him, a Dr. Sabin, that said, yeah, what Dr. Salk did, that was really good, but I found a way that if you only take it once, you don't have to take this vaccine again, you don't have to have so many shots. They didn't keep it to themselves. They shared that good news. Well, I think that was perhaps one of the dilemmas that the disciples had, and the people in Jesus' day and after Jesus' resurrection was that they had this really good news of Jesus Christ. That Jesus loved them, that Jesus died and rose again. And because of him, they had newness of life. They had salvation. They could live again. And so, did they want everybody to know about it? Well, maybe that was a good idea, but you know, the Jewish people were God's special people from the very beginning, weren't they? And so if they told everybody about it, are they going to be special anymore? And besides that, some of those other people didn't follow the same rules. Well, in the scripture that Renee read from Acts, this is Peter telling his story of what happened to him. And he's telling some of his friends and some of the other believers in Jerusalem. And he said, guess what happened to me? Yeah, I think it's okay for us to share that good news with even the Gentiles, those other people that don't necessarily follow our rules. And here's how I found out. You know, I was praying about this one day, and I had this dream, and it happened to be about food, my kind of dream. But all of a sudden, you know, here's all this food that's out here, even those things that I've been taught I shouldn't eat, like pork, or it's okay to have milk and meat at the same time, or certain kinds of animals that I can eat, you know, the ones that we used to say were unclean. Well, there were probably good reasons for that, because, yeah, there were some purity things that they had a little trouble dealing with back in those days. So there were good reasons. But now, all of a sudden in this dream, the Holy Spirit's telling Peter that it's okay. That if God says something is clean, that if God says it's okay for you to take and eat, it's okay. So what's that got to do with anything? Well, the next thing that happens when Peter awakes from his dream is he finds these Gentile men, these Romans, who have come to him from a city called Caesarea, where the Romans' occupational forces have set up their camp. And it's from Cornelius, a centurion, one of the Roman soldiers. And he wants Peter to go see him. Well, I'm a Jew, Peter would say to himself. I'm not supposed to go mix with those Romans, centurions, Gentiles. They're unclean. And then he remembers his dream, and he goes and visits Cornelius and proclaims the good news to Cornelius and his family. And the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had the other disciples. And Peter says, and I remembered about the Holy Spirit. And he says, how can I deny them, a human being, if the Holy Spirit has chosen to give them the same gift? And so he baptized them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that was his defense to his friends in Jerusalem. All are welcome. All people are welcome, as Sherry reminded us in that book. Well, we turn back to the gospel and this new commandment that Jesus has just given his disciples. And to put it back in context, you may remember that this happened on the night that Jesus was betrayed. The reading starts out that when he had gone out, now the he in that text is Judas Iscariot. Jesus has just washed the disciples' feet in an act of humility, in an act of servanthood, in an act of love, showing them what real love is all about. But yet he already knows that Judas is going to betray him, and Judas has left, and now Jesus is left with the 11, and he talks about this moment. This is the moment when the Son of Man has been glorified and will be glorified. A moment when Jesus plans to give his life for his friends, for all of humanity. And he gives them this new command to love one another as Jesus has loved you. To love one another as Jesus loves the Father, as the Father loves Jesus, and this is the way of glorifying God, and this is what he's asking his disciples to do, to love each other unconditionally, without question. That's a pretty tough order. Now, we've heard of people that come close to doing that. I think of Francis of Assisi. The first song we sang, our first hymn was, the words were attributed, all creatures of our God and King, or what is it called now? All creatures worship God Most High. You can see I'm a little older and know beyond the other words. Regardless, Francis of Assisi devoted his whole life to poverty and to giving to the poor. We think of him. You may remember in the news the recent weeks, those young people who have been faced, who have taken on intruders, gunsmen who have come to shoot down students and others in different schools. And yes, some of them have given their life so that others would be saved. That's unconditional love, folks. Without even thinking about their own safety, they've gone out and said, we're going to take it for somebody else. But that's only an idea. We can't fully know what Jesus has done for us. We have an idea, but even Francis was imperfect. Even the student, I'm sure, had his flaws. Even Martin Luther King, whom we think of as one of those great people. You've heard some of the not-so-good stories about him, too, haven't you? What is it that God is asking us to do? To love one another as Jesus had loved us, to give everything we have, our selfishness, to share that secret that we have that we don't want to give away. Well, I think these are our challenges as Easter people. Yes, we do have this good news. We do have this message. And we know it's one that we should share with other people. But what about that? All are welcome here. Hey, they might be different from us. They might cut their bread a different way. They might like to sing songs a different way. Maybe they even pray loud. Maybe they dress a little different. There's all kinds of the maybes. Maybe their skin colors are different. You know, all those maybes. And we're saying you are welcome, and we have to, and it makes things complicated, doesn't it? We may have to change our ways of doing things. And if we can't do it even here in our own congregation, even as Christians, we struggle among other denominations and other representations of what Jesus has called us to do. How do we expect to tell the good news to other people? How do we expect to convince somebody else out there about the love of Christ? Tough work, isn't it? And we're not always so good about it. But thank God that we have, like Peter did, the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit guides us and is there to help us in this endeavor. And lest we despair and say, well, I'm going to screw it up, I just give up. Jesus has given us that goal. This is perfect love, he says. This is what I want you to do, and I want you to know that kind of love that I and the Father have for one another. The kind of love that the Word made flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory. That's how God wants us to glorify him in everything we do. That same self-giving that we've heard in maybe another one of the most famous verses in the Bible, the third chapter of John, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. So yes, even though it's difficult to do, God gives us this gift of new life. He gives us this new commandment to love one another as God has loved us. And I think for the challenge for us and the goal for us as we hear that is in everything we do as a congregation, as a people, as citizens of the United States, as citizens of the world, is to ask ourselves, does what I want to do, does it glorify God? And secondly, does it embody love for one another? And yes, when I think about that and I want to go out and fight for truth and justice and do the right thing and make sure that all are fed and all are welcome, how do I do that while still glorifying God? How do I embody God's love? I don't have the answer. And I pray that as part of this congregation, as part of this group of believers and brothers and sisters in Christ, that you will pray for me as I will pray for you, and that through the Holy Spirit we can learn how to share that love unselfishly, unconditionally, with one another and with our world. In Jesus' name.